Hello and welcome to Human Inquiries, episode 443, The Day the Music Died. I'm your host, Sad Gamer Wheels. With me as always.
Hey, the Earth stood stupid, Dave McBurney, Fanboy Master.
And this is Smoke and Joe Gamer, encouraging you to always have a good firewall and try to avoid the error 443.
Hooray!
What if I'm trying to test how my software handles error 443?
The infield learn rule is in effect.
Okay, so Power Slave, the game, does not have any music from Power Slave, the Iron Maiden album. Very sad.
No, but now I really want to pay... I want a sweet, sweet Switch cart of Power Slave. I'm going to get one.
Did you guys play Ion Fury?
No, but I want to.
Yeah, it's like a spiritual successor to Duke Nukem, but you play as a girl named Bombshell.
Play the same as girl from... I'm going to go make a YouTube video about how that makes me angry.
Jeez.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go buy Ion Fury. But yeah, so... I have been in search of shooters, and I need to talk about... There's going to be a longer talk about this. But I've been going through some shit, and anyone who's watched this show for any stretch of time can understand why, because they dropped out of nowhere about 2 weeks ago that the big update coming for Destiny 2, which revamps a lot of the old content, brings everything up to date, adds a bunch of cool old stuff, like they're bringing back Sparrow Racing and stuff like that, will be the final update for Destiny 2. If you know anyone that plays and loves the game, they have been going through it. And I have been trying to figure out what to say about it, and I'm not quite there yet. And as how we want to keep this a shorter episode, I'm going to save that. Because, honestly, I want
to... have any questions relating to Destiny throughout its lifespan, you should ask Wheels. This week.
And I do actually want to play some of the new update to help corral my thoughts as well. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that brings me back to Power Slave, because of that, I've been messing around with some of the original Marathon and just looking for sci-fi shooters, not necessarily RPGs. I just want some sci-fi shooters to.
Did you finish Metroid Prime 4 yet?
Play what? What was that, Dave?
The 2017 Prey.
I have not. I think that's more... I'm looking for more dumb... less like immersive sim and more like just straight up action. So I...
Scream in the back of my Dragula?
Yes. I was in the retro shop today getting rid of some games, and they had... Warhammer Bolt Gun for Switch, so I picked that up because that looks rad as shit. I don't really like the like Quake 1 aesthetic.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's good, but it does have a certain Quake Doom kind of feel to it. I was gonna say, did you finish Metroid Prime 4 yet?
Not yet. I almost picked up Quake 2 for Switch, but I don't. Like, that's another one where I don't really like the aesthetic.
Yeah, I don't like Quake.
But I mean, Power Slave, I was looking at, but I really should, because everyone knows I like Egyptian shit. That game looks fucking awesome.
The thing about Power Slave is that the console versions were Bravanias. Like, they were made by some like ex-Nintendo of America people.
Oh, nice.
And are very interesting. PC version is an entirely different, at least perfectly cromulent build engine, straight up normal 90s third person, first person.
Yep. Oh, that's cool. Well, yeah, but
there are two different versions.
Okay. I mean, I'm open to all kinds of first person shooter suggestions at this point. What are some of the other ones I was looking at? Like Proteus, that looked too gory.
Oh yeah.
looked at Strife, that looked okay. What Wolfenstein New Bloods, because I think that has some RPG elements in it. But yeah, I'll be dabbling around.
All the recent machine games Wolfensteins are good.
Yeah, yes they are.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, just recently got my limited run copy of New Colossus all on a full Switch cart.
So
that's nice. What's Fire going to say? This is going to be a Final Fantasy VII episode. Yes, we will get to that.
Yeah, we will get into that.
Yeah. So, Destiny stuff. The future is very uncertain for that series, and honestly, Bungie as a whole right now, it's a lot of question marks. I don't know. We'll see where that goes. I'm honestly hoping, and this is not usually something I hope for, that there's so many people log in tomorrow that the servers crash.
I will say, that as an outside observer, like, I remember, like, shouting at Wheels when he was posting because the countdown to the release of Destiny 1 was at a full year until it came.
Yeah, like this is a series I've been into since day one because I've been a Bungie nerd for a long time.
Like pre-day one, like yeah. Before there was a game to be into.
When they released concept art, I was into it. Very fine.
Be safe. But we will delve more into that next week.
Yep.
There were a bunch of game shows.
Yes, there were. All spammed with We Want Destiny 3 emotes.
Yep.
As Wheels had his 9 alts going all at once. Seriously.
Yeah. I couldn't even because I don't subscribe to any of the people that have those emotes. I don't know where they're
probably one of the most cursed things the most cursed things I've ever seen was a YouTube chat where a YouTube chat for the Microsoft conference on Microsoft's official YouTube channel, for some reason, someone donated money. Yeah, that just gives Microsoft some walking around money.
Why?
To highlight their chat.
Okay.
The gamers are not well.
No.
No, I saw the title to some videos about God of War, the new God of War. I was actually watching YouTube on a bike at the gym. Then I'm not going to get into because fuck those people, and I don't even want to talk about what they're complaining about. But yeah, let's talk about some of the shows, like how Wolverine looks like shit.
God,
yeah,
we can that game.
We can start with State
that
of Play.
Missing
guess.
The mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
as I saw someone, I saw the ever amusing head falls off on Blue Sky point out that it is surreal to be seeing a trailer for a God of War game that positions it as kind of like a fun adventure that you could have between that you could show a teenager, and a game based on a literal comic book and cartoon character that could not be shown to anyone under 18.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't. It's there's not even anything that bad there. It's just stabby, stabby, and then
it's 50 gallons Mortal of Kombat blood. Shit.
Yeah, it's
hyper. Apparently, you can turn it off. Like the aesthetic, you take that part out. Aesthetic is just hideous.
Yeah, the costume looks like shit. It looks like shit.
Yeah. This is a bad Not a good looking Wolverine. They went back to the classic costume without considering as much as we all cringe at how much old Fox costumes were it's not like the comics, it's for adults. At least those were internally consistent with the cinematography and art direction. Going back to the classic costume but still having the it's for adults feel, get a game that looks completely at odds with its And, like, Wolverine's posing. Like, you look at Insomniac Spider-Man for exaggerated look. Like, he makes wild poses. And this Wolverine, like, they've kind of parked him in a realistic enough place that, like, his posing just doesn't look very true.
No, it really does not.
Nope.
I don't think I even watched the whole trailer. I think it was just like, wow, this looks bad.
And then I did. When you get through, when you look at all the other X-Men, like, material, it's like, oh, also the X-Men just don't exist?
Yeah.
I just don't get it. Two things at play here.
Can I just have Spider-Man 3 with Silk? Can we just get to that? Can we skip ahead?
Sure, someone's making that. But the thing I was going to say is, like, that game is simultaneously exactly the game you thought it was going to be when they announced it 6 years ago for some reason. But also, like, so much less.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, I don't know, man. I was not impressed by that. See, there were cool things at the Sony show, as I recall. I'm just trying to remember what they are.
It's a nice trailer for season 2 of Marathon, which is very good. We're in. And this was one of Skywatch's I still have no interest in any other extraction shooters, but Marathon is cool. I'll say that.
Gonna suddenly become a Call of Tarkov fan?
No, God, no. No.
No. We were talking about that last night. I was like, I had looked at this Steam listing for Escape from Tarkov, and to me it just screams like far-right bros, you know, that I don't know.
I get it. I've only seen the opposite type playing in Twitch.
It's sifted through the mindset of like of just like one completely like monomaniacal Russian man.
Yeah. So then, but there's a game called Escape from Duckov,
and
you play as a rubber ducky and. And that looks cool. I'd play that.
Yeah, it's just kind of Gov is fascinating because, like, every AAA company was like, we can make that, like, doing well. We can make the AAA version of that, and all of them failed.
Yeah.
It's honestly the only one that even kind of worked.
What's that?
Marathon's the only one that even kind of worked from a AAA perspective.
It's amazing that it wasn't a bomb given the mountain of negativity.
it had to crawl out from under a lot of shit.
Yeah, I think it's still crawling out from under there, but I mean, the people that love it really love it, and I've been playing with some friends, and I really get it now. It's really cool.
Good.
And they basically have a kind of a PvP limited time mode at the start of the season that was nice. It's a nice way to at least learn the game instead of going in and getting just marked by someone.
I think that, like, given enough time, Marathon ends up introducing more and more guardrails for players to not have to deal with the extraction shooter part. Let me go look at what all was on the state of play.
Yeah, there was some other stuff, a lot that was...
Yeah, we mentioned the new God of War game, and I think it looks cool. I like the concept behind it.
And, like, if I had liked God of War 2018, like, I would probably be all in for that. I didn't, so,
yeah.
Like, it's not for me, but, like, it does totally, like... Honestly, like, anything that stops them from having to do another Kratos game is probably for the best.
Yeah, it's just, it's aesthetically, it seems the opposite of most God of War games.
Yeah, that's what makes it stick out.
Yeah.
I probably don't need as much of that cube as marketing is going to give me, but, you know, I'm gonna do.
I enjoy the cube.
Yes.
So it looks like you know they knew they had something with the cube because they immediately released like footage of him motion capturing the cube. So that we might have trouble remembering it, but it's God of War Lofing, who is within Norse mythology.
You did.
Oh, within Norse mythology, Lofey is Loki's mother.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So that's kind of.
Okay.
It's a possible spoiler, but yeah.
It's too late. And if you knew anything about Norse mythology, you figured it out.
Yeah. So what I want to say is there's two things going on here. So at the start of God of War 2018, whenever that came out, basically, Kratos' second wife, the mother of Atreus, she's on a funeral pyre. They light her on, they light it.
And that's where this starts.
Right. So this shows her spirit going to presumably some kind of afterlife realm. And she appears to be
a god afterlife.
Yeah, she appears to be played by Deborah Ann Woll, who you would know as Karen Page from the Daredevil series. I like her a lot. She's very cool.
I sure would.
I watched a fun video of her trying to explain Dungeons and Dragons to John Bernthal, and it's pretty cool.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. No, he seems into it though. But then so then at the end of that game you find out that Atreus is actually Loki. So and I haven't played enough of Ragnarok to really tell you where that's going, but that is a better game so far. It is easier and better designed, and I'd like to put more time into that. Yeah. So I'm excited for this game, and that kind of, I'm hoping that'll light a fire under me to
yes, finish we'll get Ragnarok. There. Firemire, we have to build up to it. Relax. We'll get there. Firemire's asking when we're going to get to the fireworks factory.
We will get to the fireworks factory soon. We're gonna. So yeah, like she's double jumping through the afterlife. She has air combos. I bet Kratos wishes he still had them.
Fireman makes a good point in that this Wolverine game may have been somehow aiming for the ultimate Wolverine comic book aesthetic, where there is no X-Men.
That's probably where their inspiration is coming from. I think that was a bad idea.
Yeah, I completely agree. Especially now when everyone fucking hates the Ultimate Universe because Marvel decided to murder it.
So which Ultimate Wolverine was this?
The new one.
This was set in stone years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, then this was set in stone years ago. That was probably a happy accident. Either that or they influenced Ultimate Wolverine. They killed Ultimate Wolverine.
Ultimate Wolverine was good, and then it was. I get where he's coming from though, because that a big part of that was him finding and saving Jean Grey, and then they go off on and the adventure from there, and then it ends abruptly because it doesn't feel like they properly had plans.
Seems like they just someone just decided to sunset.
Yes, they set up like a big final battle with magic because she's evil in the Ultimate Universe. And then he just kills her because she's like trying to communicate with her brother through the after. I don't know. It was so bad.
Yeah. What I expect is that at one point they were meant to tie in together.
Quite possibly. And
that at like because Marvel is heinously mercurial and just sort of does things. Like they decided to kill Ultimate Wolverine before any of like that tie-in made any sense.
Yeah. What's trying to say? Absolute DC Universe came after the New Universe, and yet Absolute Batman and Wonder Woman are doing much better. That whole universe is absurdly incredible. Like, how good all those comics
is. It seems like DC isn't like ready to cut and run on it immediately.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Is that, like the current Ultimate Universe, Marvel seems like they were just looking for any excuse to jettison it out the fucking air.
Whereas DC is like, we're gonna quadruple down on this. Like they just put out the first issue of Absolute Green Arrow, which is
They hear good?
They haven't actually shown him yet, but it looks like undead Oliver Queen murdering billionaires.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, DC seems to actually be in a good position for one.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd never really read any Wonder Woman before, and the absolute Wonder Woman is beyond incredible. It might be good. the secret best of the bunch. And Absolute Batman is... It's something else.
There's a reason I immediately took it.
Yeah, it's really good. And just, I mean, I could talk forever about all of them. Absolute Superman, the Green Lanterns. I haven't even read Martian Manhunter, which is apparently incredible. And they've still got Catwoman coming. Or not Ultimate. Oh my god.
I watched Absolute Catwoman. Absolute Catwoman. No, I watched a clip from, I don't know if it was an animated movie or show, but basically Damian accidentally kills Nightwing, and I was like, that's brutal, and then Batman just loses his mind. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But hey, in the Absolute Batman, the Robins are people hired to kill him. To kill Batman.
Okay. Oh.
Well, I'd love to keep going on this.
Spoilers.
We're doing a short...
Yes.
I'd love to keep going on this, but we're doing a short episode, and we have a lot to...
Yes. Okay. End comic talk. Wolverine sucks. Yeah. Back to state of play.
Yeah. Okay. Not interested.
In state of play, my favorite thing is that in Sony's official recap of the state of play, one of the like listed things is just PlayStation Plus, and it's like, yeah, you sure did waste my time with 3 minutes of PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, some games I've never heard of from the PS2 era. Yeah,
it was nice to see some. Like, I'm theoretically the audience for that, but like PlayStation Plus Premium is still like $150 a year.
Yeah,
it's $18 a month. Yep. you have to pay Guitar more Man, to get older games.
But yeah, Guitar Man fucking owns, and like if you can buy that separate, please purchase Guitar Man. That's a lot of fun. PsyOps is a really, really weird game, and I'll be curious how the emulator handles it, because on actual emulation, PsyOps is a huge pain, because it uses the PS's, like, analog button, and so, possible the tutorial without very clever mapping.
Jeez. Oh, God.
Wow. That's bad.
I'm sure they figured out a way around that, but I'm kind of curious how. But yeah.
So another announcement was sequel to Stellar Blade. I didn't finish the first one, but I like it. So that's another thing where, okay, I guess this will hopefully help me motivate myself. I cracked a few
was that during
jokes
State
about
play,
it.
Or was that during...
oh, that might have been during Summer Games Fest. Oh,
yeah, that was during
you're
Summer
right.
Game Fest.
So we're gonna quickly wrap through the play.
Okay.
So they announced 4 new characters for Marvel Tokone.
That looks
hilarious.
Neat.
That,
yeah.
Hilarious that Carnage has been announced and Venom has not.
Exactly.
hopefully it plays better than it did on the last beta, which apparently was very wrong.
Yeah, I prefer the 2v2 tag team, so I'm a little weary of 4v4, but it is Arc System
Works. Yeah, it just
so.
Seems like too many.
It seems like it'll be
we'll
too
happens.
Chaotic for me. Yeah.
But let's see. So they showed Ill, which is sort of first-person action horror game. It looked heinously violent. They showed Chemody, which is a new game from like one of the offshoots of Platinum, Ikumi Nakamura's Unseen. It looked fun. It looked like a three-player co-op action sort of game.
Oh, is that the delightful Japanese woman who pops
yes.
up at the Game Awards? I yes. love her. Yeah.
Yes, she was a like artist and like key like design person on games like Ghostwire Tokyo and Evil Within and all the a bunch of like Tango and Platinum and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So that trailer kind of. I was kind of just not paying attention, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, this looks kind of neat. And then when I found out it was her, I'm like, okay, hold on. I got to pay attention to this. Yeah. That was not a good time to go, you know, eat a snack.
They released a demo for Onimusha Way of the Sword, which I'm not looking forward to. Apparently the boss is super hard, but the rest of the game's fairly manageable. We'll see. Oh, and the most perplexing thing here, a remake of Rayman Legends? Don't understand that.
It looks worse than the original?
Like, it comes with Rayman Origins, and it's only $40, so it's not completely deranged, but it is, like... Wow. You can tell that, like, an executive was like, well, Rayman Legends sold best. And that means that, and it came out most recently, and that means that people don't need another of it.
But, it already looked...
It's a good game, but yeah, I don't know. I played it on the Wii U, and it was fine.
It's one of the most beautiful 2D games, so we're going to make it with 3D?
Yeah.
What are we doing? So, the
one thing I'll give them is that, and I feel like the original developer, like, I'm sure that the developers who aren't allowed to make decisions on what they're making are probably keenly aware that this is an insane project to go for.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, one, original Rayman Legends is kind of loosely structured. I understand the desire. Give it more structure, give it more of a plot.
Yeah.
Make it more of a game. The other thing is they're taking the opportunity to port Rayman Origins to modern platforms that did not exist, that has not been properly available since, like, the PS3.
I'll take
that. This game just comes with it and is only $40 to begin with, so it's not, like... completely, like, off your rocker, but yeah. It is one of those, like, I don't know quite whoever made this decision should reconsider their job.
Yeah. When I say, dude, there's a new Bubsy 3D game, so why not a remake? Yeah. You're not wrong. And by the way, that Bubsy game is wonderful.
So, Bubsy 4D?
Yeah.
The other thing I'm moving up, on the who even owned this to revive it, it was Stuntman. Do you remember what Stuntman is? Congratulations.
Yeah! I thought it was a Need for Speed game for most of the trailer, and I was happy about that, and then it's like...
halfway through the trailer, it started to dawn on me what I was looking at.
Right.
Stuntman is a really cool concept. Like, the elevator pitch for Stuntman is really cool. Like, doing stunt driving and, like, cool action movies, and it's like, oh, that's cool. What does that entail? Well, you sit here while the director barks orders and you try to, like, do exactly what he's saying, exactly as he says it, right now.
Oh.
And, like, I think Stuntman Ignition, the sequel, made it a little easier, a little less rigid, but, like, they would need to do some pretty heavy restructuring of how it actually functions because the game is just, like, the experience playing original stunt, like, miserable, because it's just you're driving forward and he's like, crash into that car, jump over that barrel, and then like you have like 2 seconds to do it, and if you miss enough you have to restart, and the original Stuntman, horrible loading time every time you restart. Playing the original Stuntman is an exercise in frustration where you like drive forward, fail to understand what he's barking at you to do, screw up the scene, and then have to wait 45 seconds.
You know, this is giving me bad memories of Sewer Shark.
But a little bit.
Up, left, right. Oh, you didn't hit it fast enough and you crashed and died.
Six, niner, six.
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced Until Dawn 2. I was wondering
that looks
if
awful.
They would ever do that. Oh, I didn't pay enough attention because I saw it was Until Dawn.
Well, here's the thing. It's not even a sequel to the first game. Different setting, different characters.
And I
think it looks like ass. Like, those Until Dawn motion capture graphics looked great when the original game launched on PS5. The PS5 remaster, remake, whatever they're calling it, that, yeah, looks better, but still has the same cringy characters and plot, and I couldn't even finish it. The Until Dawn movie...
It actually looked better.
the movie is doing its own weird thing that has no relation to the rules or plot of the games. So I don't know. I just, as a person who used to be a fan of Until Dawn, this is like, doesn't even look good to me at all. I don't even know what this is. Yeah.
And that's the majority of the play. We're gonna keep running down these.
And it's a different developer than the first game. Anyways, it's not Supermassive Games.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Sony.
I would say the state of play was fine, if unexciting, for me personally, because I'm not a Wolverine or person.
Yeah.
So, quickly to run down Microsoft, they showed Call of Duty, they showed Gears of War. Those looked like exactly what you would expect from those franchises. They showed In Exile's Clockwork Revolution, which still looks kind of neat. And that one that one finally has a release year of 2027. They showed... Well, they quote-unquote showed Persona 6, which was just a logo.
It's like the most nothing trailer I've ever seen in my life.
You might as well not have announced it. Everyone already knew Persona 6 was coming. If you were just going to show that didn't mean anything.
Yeah, that was
it's going to be green, right?
Presumably.
Persona 4 Revival coming out, what, February?
February 18th.
That's exciting. I want to play that.
I need a Switch 2 announcement for that tomorrow.
There's a not insignificant chance that it happens. There is a... They showed, for some reason, a trailer for a game that's already out and is like LLM and gotcha slop where winds meet. I think that may have just finally come to Xbox. I don't know.
Who cares?
They show... The thing that made everyone that I was watching with, like, completely lose it for, like, what on earth am I looking at was Valor Mortis, the... A game where you are fighting demons as Napoleon?
Yeah, that's
but why though?
At least stuck out. I at least appreciated the sheer madness of the concept.
What was that 3DS steampunk tactical game with Abraham Lincoln? Yeah. That was cool.
But yeah, like, Valor Mortis, I at least appreciated the raw insanity. So I'll give them Minecraft Dungeons 2 for the wheels in the audience.
Give me.
Yeah.
An extraordinarily expensive 25th anniversary Xbox Series X with, like, translucent green plastic.
And it's the same 1 terabyte hard drive, same hardware. No, thank you.
Yeah, a crazy taxi game that was immediately tainted by the announcement that AI was used in its creation. Now we can't
quite
tell.
Milkshake Duck.
Yeah.
Then like they've like repeatedly clarified how they've used it to the point where it sounds more like artists were told to use it and used it as little as they could manage.
Well,
like it's
good,
like, oh, we generated images and then drew things. Like, okay, yeah, you used this as little as you could while not pissing off your boss. I respect.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Doom of the Dark Ages expansion pack.
Yes. I haven't finished Doom Dark Ages, but I was playing another mission yesterday after hearing about that announcement, and then I got one of those Just For You offers for the Deluxe Edition upgrade, and that came with a really cool art book soundtrack thing where it's 17 gigabytes, and I'm like, that's odd, but it's this app, and you actually get nice 3D environments to look at while you're listening to the music, and then you can scroll through the art images, and it's actually very well done, and then that includes the upcoming expansion, so I gotta go back and finish that game now.
We got
and I love it. I love that game. Yeah.
We got an announcement of a third Hellblade, just called Senua.
I didn't play 2 yet. I didn't finish 1.
I don't remember if that had been announced before, but like I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what Ninja Theory's working on.
Halo Campaign Evolved.
Yep, we all knew about that one.
Just go buy Master Chief Collection instead.
Seriously.
You get so many more Halos.
It's cheaper. You get 10 times as much content.
Yeah, there's really no reason not to just grab Master Chief Collection unless you want to play a version of Halo that has a sprint in it, even though the game is not balanced.
But yeah, I think among the more like, didn't think that was getting a sequel, was Wolong 2, which is another of Team Ninja's sort of old style games, sort of their sort of Chinese Neo in terms of how it plays.
Apparently, eventually sold quite well.
Like, at first, I had heard that it didn't underperform, but I guess it just sort of kept selling, which is good. I'm happy for that. This one's coming to everything, which is also surprising.
Cool.
You must have no end of questions, guys. Shots of the new Metro game, more State of Decay. This was so long. Persona 4 Revival. New Plague Tale game. Fable, after it was quite recently delayed.
I had like 27 minutes of Gears of War, which I don't want.
It's Gears of War, man. I
don't want to play a prequel. Like, no interest.
No, I'm fine with playing a prequel.
I'm fine with playing a prequel. I don't care. The game looks like it plays pretty well. I just really need to get a new Gears at this stage. So the last thing I'll bring up, I think would be of relevance, to a new Spyro toys.
Yeah. I never played any of the old ones, but it looks cool.
One looks very different because you can just fly anywhere, so it cannot be the same kind.
Okay.
Looks cute, and I'm interested to see what they do, and I'm glad that Toys for Bob, like, rescued itself from the jaws of the end.
The darkness is coming back. Toys for Bob.
Okay. Now we're going to briefly touch on... what was it? Summer Games Fest, other than the thing we all want to talk about.
If I were going to comment about the Cuphead thing.
Oh, yes. There was like Mighty Cuphead, which is Master System game?
Yeah, okay, let me read what Farmer and I say. He says, the developer of Cuphead's recently announced a spinoff for that game on the Sega Master System. Then Digital Eclipse announced a collection of Barbie games. What I observe from the discourse is that a lot of people are just sour grapes. It's because someone is doing something with games or platforms that you don't like or don't have doesn't mean that the thing is bad or a waste. Totally agree.
Yeah, people get sour grapes about games. Oh,
yeah.
So two things about that. The Master System thing is mostly a thing bear. It's cute that it runs on a Master System, but it's not like they're selling you a system.
Yeah.
Play it. It's just kind of cute that they did it. The Barbie thing I think is interesting, because one of the things I like about doing collections is to draw attention to things that might otherwise never have... might never have seen re-release. Mm. Like, one thing that I... like, the contrast I'll draw between this and another recent thing that's kind of similar is, so Limited Run just did a collection of a random assortment of Rugrats games. And what you get with that is you just get, here are a bunch of old games. But with Digital Eclipse, they're putting all these Barbie games together. They're Digital Eclipse, so what they're going to do, in addition to that, is they're going to contextualize what they are. Like, what is this? Who made this? Why is it like this? That's useful information. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. That gives this a reason to exist as, like, a useful piece of history to explain, like, why were these games made like this? What was the process? What context do they fit in history? And that's important. That's the only way for the way to, like, have any hope of being, like, reevaluated or contextualized in it. So I appreciate that. I like I'm glad the Barbie collection, because of the context that Digital will be bringing. But yeah, Digital Eclipse is actually doing several, like, here's a random license game that we're going to put a lot of text around, but it was much easier to sell the Toy Story collection because a lot of those games still have. Also, A Bug's Life is there for some.
I mean, between Digital Eclipse and Night Dive, like, the Atari is becoming like this little retro powerhouse that I really appreciate.
Jason Schreier actually just put out a fairly interesting interview with the guy who runs Atari, and when I heard that yet another independently wealthy person's son had bought Atari, I was just like, okay, so they're gonna embarrass themselves for another 10 years. The century of humiliation for Atari continues. But what's interesting is, like, you read him talk, and it's like, yeah, we try to, like, most of our projects are between $1 and $5 million. Some are less than $1 million. So, like, the break-even point is, did we sell 100,000 units within 18? Not counting heavily, but yeah, like that is a sustainable model.
Yeah,
you can sell that.
That's actually very heartening to hear.
Yeah, so like that, when you see something like that, it's like, oh, okay, you're probably actually doing much better business than a lot of companies are. That was nice to hear, and that leads me to believe that, like, Digital Eclipse and Night Dive are not about to get shuttered at random at some point. Which is the thing I was worried about when I first heard that Atari had bought both. Night Dive announced its new thing, Thief the Dark Project.
Yes, so when I don't buy enough copies of Thief, they won't get shuttered.
Yeah, like, if just us sickos buy Thief, it will turn a tidy profit.
I cannot begin to tell you my ridiculous level of hype for that. Like, I obsessed over that stupid game on our old Windows computer.
See, one of those games that I always want to go back to, and every time I try to map things onto it instead of use a keyboard and mouse, which I just can't use them. I just don't enjoy it. Yeah. I just don't have fun using a keyboard and mouse, so I just can't. So, like, when, you know, seeing that, and it's like, that will be available. God, I will be able to play this with sensible mapping. I'm 100% sold, and I'm sure that, like, the follow-up will be Thief to the Metal Age remastered, because, I mean, that's just the kind of studio that Night Dive 10. But yeah, no, very, very, very heartening to see, again, like, Jason Schreier, as always. He's actually been putting out YouTube videos. He has, like, a very good 20-minute dive into, like, the history of Destiny and how things ended up where they are, like, why games are so expensive now. He's done a few YouTube videos. Like, he's way bigger than us. He doesn't need our endorsement, but absolutely, if you are the kind of person that would listen to this podcast, you should be watching the videos he's putting out and, like, reading his column, because he's got some of the most connected and cool stuff.
Also, he's an Arcade Gamer alum.
True.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he seems like a cool dude.
Yeah.
Dude. You can follow him on Blue Sky.
It's true. That's where I get a lot of my news. Let's see. Attack on Titan 3. I didn't realize there's Attack on Titan 2. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at the Summer Games Best stuff, because I have to miss Summer Games. Miss is probably not the right word, but... Monster Hunter Wild Ascendants, which also came with the announcement they are working on Switch 2 version officially.
I'm so angry. And you know why I'm angry, because I'm gonna have to play that fucking game.
You know that's not going to be the only Switch game that released.
I know, but... What I wanted to hear if they're going to do expansion was, we're also going to fix the terrible campaign you have to play through to get to the actual game.
They might just make you get to it.
I sure hope so.
They showed some of the Star Wars XCOM. They showed Lords of the Fallen 2. Note, that is the third Lords of the Fallen game. Yes, that is stupid.
Can't tell if that's more or less stupid than when they... We're just going to call it Lord of the Fallen, or what the hell?
No, it was The Lords of the Fallen.
The Lords of the Fallen, okay. Like,
They showed stuff like a expansion for Mafia the Old Country. I hear that's quite good. They showed a bunch for, like, the new Virtua Fighter, which has, like, a truly deranged list of people attached to its story mode, which seems to be heavily being emphasized. I'm super into that. I'm very excited for Virtua Fighter Crossroads. Showed Guild Wars 3, which is coming to PC and PS5. I know some people who are big into Guild Wars.
I'm mildly interested in that as a possible replacement MMO.
I was thinking that seemed like something that you might consider for a while, since it's the kind of MMO where you just buy expansion.
Yeah. And it's action-based, which...
Yeah. Yeah. They showed a weird-looking new Gundam game that's not based on any particular Gundam show. That's interesting. They teased the oft-mentioned but previously unshown Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin, which is now being developed by Platinum. That's less exciting than it would have been 5 years ago, but I'm interested. They showed some more Stranger Than Heaven. Tupac is in there for some reason.
That's very disturbing.
So to put this into perspective, I think that like at least some of the developers are just like, well, we have, you know, some Japanese characters who are, you know, no longer with us. We've included as tribute. We will do the same with Tupac. And I don't think they quite realize how fraught his image is in terms of like how much it's who gets the money and how much changed hands.
It felt like they probably meant well, at least.
Yeah. I suspect that they intended to be tribute.
Yeah.
No AI used in part of his likeness or his voice. So I'm going to assume they have. They showed a new thing from Fumito Ueda's studio. It looks like everything else he's ever made. The man's been a one-trick pony for 25 years at this point. I'm kind of done. Alien Isolation 2. Pretty cool. And now to the two things I actually care to talk about. Mm. Evil Veronica. Code Veronica remake.
Yes.
Seemingly split between first and third person, like 9. Just the name makes it clear that they are kind of trying to make it that they are less bent on being loyal to the source with this one.
The trailer was
like just by calling it Resident Evil Veronica. Yeah, it's a super, super good trailer, super atmospheric, coming to everything. I was glad to see that Switch 2 logo. Yeah, very, very excited to
play. I didn't like the original, but this looks like something I'd want to play. Yeah.
The original is a very strange game. I have a lot of love for it, but it is divisive for a very good reason. But yeah, love it. Get enough of it. Very excited. 2027. And then, thing I was waiting for, the thing I was glad to see, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Part 3 has a name. It is Final Fantasy VII Revelation, and it is coming in spring of 2027. This is where he was headed.
And it looks incredible.
Yeah, it looks wonderful. So there's a job system for some ungodly reason. They showed footage of like truly deranged shit, like Sid hopping on top of the transformed Vincent's back while they both go ape shit. They showed like just all sorts of like they showed like Medeal, like various sections where like non-Cloud Party members are leading the party, which makes sense. And just like there's a really interesting long interview that I had seen sections of translated for from someone on, let me see if I can find that link, because there was some interesting stuff in there. But yeah, I once again hope that Hamaguchi and his team get to produce Final Fantasy 17 or 18. They deserve it. Apparently you can, like, you'll start with the Highwind, and you can use it to, like, access a bunch of different areas at the start of the game, and the game's just gonna kinda gate those based on by using levels to sort of gate you out of them.
his notes. They're all about a place called the Temple of Crota.
There will apparently be a bunch of additional Zach scenes. That will be interesting to see what he is up to, given the state, given the weirdness that has pervaded him throughout the remake trilogy. Wutai looks... I'm so glad to finally see Wutai, because like they've emphasized it so much more as like the thing Shinra uses to justify all of its choices. You can go back to Midgar, Rocket Town. They haven't shown it yet, but like submarine sections are still in there. They've apparently been debating how Knights of the Round should be portrayed in Final Fantasy VII Remake since the first game, and they'll finally be seeing it now. Out for miles. Who knows what's happening under your feet? But yeah, like it sounds like a really like they're gonna crush it. I loved VII Remake. I loved VII Rebirth. All about VII Revelation. Up ahead, Guardian down. So I'm sure Fireminer had some questions about that. Can you pull those up?
He's got a lot of stuff in here. let's see. I'm going to start with... what is the deal with people whining that Persona 6... This is not 7 related, but I don't want to miss it. That Persona 6 won't launch on Switch 2. We don't actually know that yet. Not only then, I'm sure Atlas will eventually port it, but I'm my only person that reminds that Persona 6 should have been in development for so long before the Switch 2 was even an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, so difficult to track how long this game has actually been in development. I'm sure that a Switch 2 version is in the pipeline. It's just a question of how long it takes them. But the other thing I'll say about both Revival and 6 is that... I remember when Persona, like, when all those Personas, like, Portable, 4 Golden, and 5 Royal were announced for non-PlayStation platforms. For some reason, the Switch was just left off until a Nintendo Direct, at which point they were added. Like, I don't think that's necessarily going to happen with both 4 Revival and 6, but it's also not impossible.
Yeah.
We
may find it's out a very... by the time you listen to this episode.
Yeah, because in like 12 hours, good God, I need to go to sleep soon. But yeah, like, just real, like, you know, hold your horses, guys. We are no longer in the period where, like, a Nintendo platform will, like, if it doesn't happen day and date, we'll just never see it. We've woken the hive. It's honestly, I've been surprised that we've slowly started to see more and more games just have that Switch 2 logo as part of their listed platform. Just because for so long it was like something that we would hear about months later. Even for games that seemed like they should have been signed. But yeah, so continue on with more questions.
Hold on, I'm swamped by Hive.
Yeah, I'd love to, but I'm on my phone right now.
We don't know exactly how well the new job system Final Fantasy VII. Final Fantasy VII Revelation job system is called Fifths. It's coming dangerously close to the Dressosphere. Good? Question mark. We don't know exactly how will the new job system Final Fantasy VII Revelation work. From what I've seen, I just have to ask, how much does the interesting part of a job system come down to the different loadouts, equipments and abilities, and how much does it come down to the evolution tree, reclassing, etc., the outcome or the process, which is more fun? It's a tough question.
I mean, like, giving the characters like an obvious visual indicator of what their job is just evil. So I don't blame them, and like, it's fun to give new looks characters that have had like one iconic look for 30 years.
Yeah.
I don't really blame them. Like, what was the full breadth of this question?
How much is the interest part of a job system come down to different loadouts of equipments and abilities, and how much does it come down to leverage, like, what is this asking?
The loadouts versus
like the end job you've spec'd out, or the process of actually building the job, which is more fun, I guess.
I usually like I'm an ends kind of guy. I'm usually more like getting it to the point where it, like it can do everything I want, rather than the planning part.
Yeah.
I think that's very individual player.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of the game I'm playing right now, Destiny, I very much enjoy the build coming together and actually getting to the end result. Like, the build really singing, less than actually putting it together. Figuring mm-hmm. out what's going to work together.
It's in those moments when it all comes together.
Yeah, especially in, like, Revelation is going to be an action game, I think. Like, putting something together that really sings in that battle system is going to be joyous.
Another thing I'm very excited about. Well, Seven Revelation coming to every platform that it's coming to the same day.
Yeah.
That's good.
God.
Very good. I confess I didn't watch it because I didn't finish the second one, Rebirth. I didn't finish it yet. I didn't want any spoilers, but yeah.
Do it.
Another reason to really just, you know, make myself go back to it. I got to the part where I just got the green chocobos, so I don't think I'm that far from the end, but yeah.
Pretty sure you are.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. What else do we have in the questions?
For some reason, I don't do a lot of reclassing in SRPG. I guess that when a game gives you a roster the size of the average Fire Emblem attack, I like characters to have blind spots so that they have to work together. Then again, I don't like to do a lot of spreadsheeting and menuing, and you do it.
Yeah. No, that's totally understandable. Yeah. Like, I mean, like. Can still read something. Especially because, like, theoretically, the point is that you have characters that, like, balance out the weaknesses of others.
Yeah.
You end up having to do a lot more cross-classing in small-party combat to begin with, but, like, if you're doing a ton of cross-classing in a game with as many characters as Fire Emblem, you're going to be doing a lot of management. So, yeah, I totally get it.
I'm going to bring up the question Farminer just asked, the most recent one. Is people are just going to complain about Final Fantasy VII does not respect the player's time, aren't they?
I mean, like,
I'm getting kind of sick of that argument.
And players have a bad habit of disrespecting their own time. It's like, yeah. I can see things to do. I have to do them. It's like, no, you don't. If you're not having fun, stop. Move on.
Yeah,
you don't. But also, are you seriously complaining that a game you have purchased gives you like hundreds of hours of things to do? Like
I can absolutely see that complaint if the game is forcing you to complete that content, but like doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I wouldn't say that Rebirth like doesn't respect my time. I would say it doesn't respect my possible undiagnosed ADHD. I'm constantly getting like sidetracked by side content and Moogles and Chocobos and all the other stuff. So I don't know.
I mean, there is a massive library of shorter games out there for people that want a shorter experience. Why shouldn't there be games that people can just devour for hundreds of hours? Isn't that the point of variety? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
If you like shorter games, you go play Bubsy 4D, which is a short and wonderful time. So I don't get it. Okay, let's see. Let me find some of the other questions here. I think it was Final Fantasy VII Revelations. We saw that you had turrets to fight the weapons, but do you think that these things will be a requisite, or will you just be able to fight the weapons like normal as a choice? Because in a recent interview with Hamaguchi, he said a lot about opening up the combat verticality. Interesting.
Like, my personal suspicion would be that, like, it will be possible to do that, but it will amount to a challenge run.
Mm. Let's see what else is in here. Previously asked about whether people have nostalgia for bad voice acting. In the case of Symphony of the Night, the script was memorable. The upcoming Dynasty Warriors 3 remake will reuse the same very bad early 2000s original voice acting. Wrong pronunciation, pronunciations and unenthusiastic cadence and all. That's a choice.
Baffled at that. That voice acting was considered bad at the time.
You can see it as a cost-cutting matter, or you can see it as Koei doubling down on the memes. They even reuse the original PS2 models and call them retro screen. I mean,
having those again?
Based on the number of Koei Tecmo games I've played with no English dub, it sounds like cost-cutting to me. We have some engrams you might find. Or both. They can lean into the memes and not pay anyone. Everyone loses.
Except whoever does Koei's account.
Okay. Hamaguchi made it very clear in a recent interview that Final Fantasy Revolution is an open world game and you can travel to anywhere in the world and parachute down onto. Someone raised the problem of content density, and Hamaguchi said that the team has been doing hard to prevent that. What does he mean, content density? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like too many things to do?
Repeat that?
Let me read it again. Hamaguchi made it very clear in a recent interview that Final Fantasy VII Revelation is an open-world game, and you can travel to anywhere on the world and then parachute down. Someone raised the problem of content density, and Hamaguchi said that the team has been doing hard to prevent that.
Process that is the, like, content density refers to the idea of what if you land somewhere and there's just nothing there? That's the thing they're trying to prevent.
Okay. That makes sense. Is that all the Final Fantasy questions? Yes, then we have... I booted up my PS3 to play Harmony of Despair after seeing the trailer for the new Castlevania. There's a very real difference to gameplay when you have such a wide screen compared to the character sprites, like in the case of Harmony or the upcoming Castlevania. Suppose that they want the player to do a lot of calculating about how and where to position characters after each movement, like in the case of Dead Cells. Well, I mean, it does involve the same developer.
At least some of them.
Yeah. So that would make sense. That game was apparently stealth delayed for Switch.
That's awkward. Just 7 a day.
Yeah.
Serious? I'd say it was like a certification thing, but there's still 5 months until then. Can't have been sent for certification yet. So a warlock walks up to a
hunter in the tower and says... Weird.
No guesses. I don't want to cut this short, but I'm fucking tired.
Yeah, let's Can a game without set pieces or even narrative constraints be truly memorable unless the player is extremely into the simulation aspect? Oh, I'm sorry. That was the second part of a question. Some parts of 007 First Light actually play like an immersive sim. However, by the nature of a 007 game, you just have got to have some linear set pieces in between the sandboxes. You talked a lot about how a game needs to have the parts you don't like so that when they lead to the part that you do like, the experience is even more memorable. What do you think about games that are entirely sandbox?
To sort of lose interest in pure sandboxes. I also know some people for whom that is the only kind of game they care about.
Yeah, I like a game with some direction. Like, I don't really get into a game that's just like, here... do stuff that like just doesn't appeal to me, and I think it doesn't appeal to a lot of people. So,
007 thing is an interesting way to.
Yeah,
like you can have infiltration aspect that's basically Hitman style, but with less of a like everything must end with a kill.
Yeah.
But you can also
have your cake and eat it by having the like 007 like car chases and explosions and shootouts.
Yeah, I actually saw some comparisons to Uncharted, and that's what would get me interested in that game. I don't know.
Probably less linear than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
once you get to the like, shootout, it's probably my radar. Linear as that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying not to spend $70 on any game at this point.
Yeah. Probably be picking it up when it hits Switch 2, because I'll have time.
Yeah. I mean, the Hitman games I've always had a mild interest in trying, but it's just like seemed maybe too sandboxy for me, so the 007 game is probably more up my alley.
I don't mind that they're sandboxy, but they feel very perfectionist in a way that 007 feels like it might scare my brain away from. Yeah, everyone's got that. Their own brainworms.
Yeah.
Wait, okay.
Let's start wrapping this up.
Okay.
Gaijin's not here. Does anyone want to do the plug or shall I?
You can do it.
Yeah. If you are interested in experiencing the joys of an actual place sort of story without the like more irritating kinds of people that sometimes congregate in those, or like them with more of a traditional linear narrative structure, then Princesses of the Pizza Parlor is here for you and is at the length of War and Peace at this point, but is apparently barreling towards a conclusion. Terrifying to think about. We've been listening to him slowly write through those over the past decade, so I'm pretty happy about to hear how far he's come, but that's hardly the only thing that you can get from Gaijin. If you go to amazon.com and look up Michael Yadi Mizu as an author for Kindle and Kindle Unlimited, some of these will also have the on-demand versions, but you have Tanuki Teapot, which is a collection of Japanese folk tales, some of which don't really have other extant English versions. You have there's a lot of stuff here. I know that currently like pitching some other things that I'm also like not pitching, but like in stages of completion on other things. But there's also what's the other one? There's the Litroidvania one.
Vainglorious
Long as the Night. Vainglorious Long as the Night. You have more adult fiction with the Michael Spearwater name, like Wager for Wanderlust, Tantalus. So there's a lot of stuff depending upon your tastes. There is probably something that you can enjoy. Heartily recommend supporting an indie author. Joe, you got anything to plug?
Sure. So you can continue to watch my streams on twitch.tv/rpgamer. I got a free copy of Mina the Hollower, so thanks again to Paws, who friended me on Steam and then gifted me the game. I streamed that twice already. I love that game so far. It really plays like a mix of like Link's Awakening and like Bloodborne or other Souls-likes. But I was struggling a little bit, but then I found out there's a merchant who can sell you health upgrades and other upgrades. You can also just level grind. You just keep collecting bones. So, yeah, it's a good game so far. Really enjoy playing that. So you could tune into those streams. You can also check out my YouTube channel, which is under Smoke and Joe Gamer. I recently did some Metroidvania-related content, so I do have some videos of some Metroidvanias I played for the first time, like Guacamelee is in there, and Clockwork Ambrosia is in there. So yeah, so you can check out those videos there. And then lately I've been playing a little bit of Forza Horizon 6. I've been playing some Indiana Jones. I'm always playing different things, and you know, I make videos when I feel like it. I finally got Reanimal, which is a horror game, so I did do a video for that, and that's also something else I've been trying to play. So consider liking, subscribing, you know, check out my streams at 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday nights on the RP Gamer Twitch channel. And you can follow me on Blue Sky if you want under Smoke and Joe Gamer. And you can also join the RP Gamer Discord server if you want, as long as you're not a bot, as long as you're not a grifter, as long as you're not trying to sell stuff. Just don't be weird. Don't be a jerk. Be the good kind of weird. You can be as nerdy as you want, but don't try to sell us worthless junk.
Yeah. And you can do that by going to the community tab of RP Gamer. If you want to leave us comments, you can go to the podcast section of the RP Gamer Discord, or you can ask us questions underneath the comment section on this very episode, or you can catch us when we stream. We stream at usually around 8:30 p.m. Pacific, 11:30 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. If you catch us in the chat, like Dear Friend Fireminer, you'll be able to ask us questions. We also have our other streams that happen, Shenanigans, that's 9 p.m. Pacific. I am sorry that I've missed several weeks of that, but I have been very busy. So.
But, okay, friend of the show, Hollywood, has joined us for Overwatch the past 2 weeks, so that's been fun.
Okay. With that, I think that wraps things up for us. You space cowboys.
See you.
See ya.
Oh, somebody hit the mole man button. I need mole men.
Sorry. Hold on. Why don't you do it yourself?
I'm shooting Hive.
All right, hang on. I'll do it. Hang on.
This is mole man in the morning. Yeah.
We're good.
Good mole man to you.
Now the stream can be ended.
Okay.